You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Rangers win again, and they do it at Fenway. 9-5. They've won 4 of 5. The Red Sox reeling. They've lost 3 straight, and yesterday was their 5th loss in their last 6 games. Let's celebrate it with Jared Sandler, Rangers insider, on the buyersafety.com hotline here on Sean and RJ. Your chance to win Hootie tickets coming up this hour and the 8 o'clock hour for the rest of the week. Good morning, J-Rod. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Put in order your preference. Well, let's get to the game first. Angel Hernandez versus the world. Your take on the controversial umpire.
Well, you know, I had someone actually go back and look at or try and time the time between the end of the play and when the challenge was being issued. And I guess the question is when that clock is supposed to start. But outside of that, it just seems like he's always creating conflict. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've actually had players tell me he's not a bad guy. He's just a horrible umpire. So, but, you know, you watch a game like last night and you kind of think he's a little bit of both. But I don't know. Like, you know, there are certain umps who have a reputation of always causing stuff. And, you know, the ump show characterization gets attached to them. And Angel Hernandez is one of them, and you know both managers getting ejected within an inning of each other. I mean, I don't know. It's I try to be lenient towards umpires, but he's one of those guys where I always kind of cringe when I know that he's umpiring one of the Rangers series.
Is it a situation almost where players are just a little bit more on edge when he's umpiring? Because like the Benintendi ball strike call, that wasn't an egregious call, but he got a little upset. I wonder how much of that was because of Angel.
Well, so I was told, and I could be wrong, and to answer your initial question, yes. I think that, you know, when you've got an umpire that maybe you know their reputation or maybe you have a history with or you just don't like, yes, I think you're on edge. You're maybe a little easier to snap because you just don't respect the guy as much. You know, it's no different than, I guess, in everyday life. If you don't respect someone, you're probably more likely to not treat them the way that you normally would. I was told the Benintendi thing had to do with the night before with a check swing that was called a strike or a swinging strike against the Red Sox. And then later in the game, Danny Santana was said to not go around in a critical moment, which he then later doubled. And Benintendi was still mouthing off about that. So I don't know exactly what that was all about, but I do think your initial question, you're probably on to something. I mean, these guys are human, so you don't respect someone, you don't like someone, you're not gonna give them as much leeway, and you're probably gonna feel a little more free to say things that are gonna get you ejected.
Put these three in order for the Rangers with the trade deadline: buy, sell, or stay.
Well, so I don't know how to put those in order because I think the first thing is buying, but it's, you know, that they would be buyers to some degree even if they lost 20 games in a row. And I said last night on the postgame show that if they lost 20 games in a row, I'd run down 75 in a thong. But they say that they, you know, let's throw out that ridiculous hypothetical. They lose 20 games in a row. They're not really playoff contenders. They're still going to look at this as an extension of free agency. So if there's a controllable pitcher who they can have under contract for beyond this year and maybe at least 2 more years, I think they'd still aggressively pursue that guy. So to me, that part is not really their contention status isn't really as significant in determining whether or not they're going to look at the trade deadline in that way, because there's one super stud free agent pitcher, Gerrit Cole. The Rangers, I'm sure, are going to, you know, back up the truck for him, but so will a lot of other teams. And so there aren't a ton of great options, and this is just another way to try and add for next year. You know, I think.
But what is next year's reasonable objective? Like, are we looking at this as a little bit of an overachieve, or are they trying to say we think we're going to compete for a World Series title in a year or two? Because why? Because I thought the plan is continue to develop young,
right,
and not give up those assets. And now we're talking about acquiring win now pitching. And is this a win now team for next year or 2 years from now?
I think so. That's why I think that the pitching that they would be willing to give up assets for would have to be under contractual control, not just for this year, yeah. not just for next year, but for at least through 2021.
Right.
I think I don't know this to be true at all, but you know, you look at how tough it is to grow pitching, and the Rangers have obviously had a tougher time doing that than most. You know, whether it's just the actual ability to develop pitching or just the bad luck of injuries, if you've got an established starter that you can plug into the rotation, then, you know, I think you really have to consider strongly paying that price to get that guy. Now, what their record will determine is whether or not they go and try add bullpen help or whether they are selling off guys like Sean Kelly and Hunter Pence and maybe even Mike Minor. But, you know, right now, it doesn't look like they would be trading Mike Minor. They can always trade him in the offseason if they felt the need to. But I don't know that they would trade Mike Minor in a position they're in right now. And it looks like, you know, per John Morosi's reports, that maybe sooner rather than later, they're looking at adding a reliever to kind of help their cause. Now, I still don't think, no matter what, let's use the flip of the scenario I gave you. If they won 20 games in a row, I still don't think the Rangers would go all in for a rental. I don't think that they would deviate from their philosophy that they're not going to throw all their chips in the middle of the table just to get a rental. So the two things that to me aren't going to change, they're going to look for controllable pitching, and they're not going to pay a hefty price for a rental. What could change based on the record is the degree to which they pursue a reliever and whether or not they try sell some of these expiring contract pieces.
Sandler, where are we with the Rangers farm system? I could ask five people and probably get five different answers on how good or average the system actually is. Look, they could definitely get Noah Syndergaard if they wanted to. They would have to give up a few prospects, but you know, where is the system?
Well, you know, it's probably right now middle of the pack. You know, they've got some young players who it's so tough to kind of quantify, like Colwyn, for example. Colwyn, instead of starting in short season to begin his professional career, is in, you know, full season baseball. And, you know, he's off to a slow start, but, I mean, you know, the kid's 18, 19 years old. I don't know that that's dropping him down the rankings. What's tough for me, RJ, is to measure the position players. You know, they've got some quality pitching in their system. You know, they really have a lot of good relievers in their system, but, you know, you probably would trade that to have a lot of really good starters. But how do you measure Bubba Thompson, who's been out since, like, the third week with a hammock bone? He was supposed to really kind of break out. Chris Cease having shoulder surgery or torn labrum, he was supposed to break out. So the two position players who maybe were supposed to take big steps forward more than anyone, they got hurt. And so that, for me, is one reason why it's really kind of tough to quantify where exactly they're at.
Jared Sandler, buyersafety.com hotline. What I would like to just simplify it as a Ranger follower for the farm system is there a name that jumps off the page as one that you're dying to keep? Do we have one that other teams and organizations would say, okay, we will go ahead and talk about Noah Syndergaard for that guy and that guy? Is there like a – who's the golden child of the prospects, and how many are there?
Well, probably Hans Kraus. I think teams would maybe – you know, one reason why he fell to the Rangers in the second round was just because of health. So, excuse me, maybe some teams who passed on him then wouldn't have as much interest. But he definitely gets talked about, and there are people who whose jaw drops to the floor when they watch him pitch, or you know, when they see video of him or talk about him. You know, Colwyn, like I said, is so young, so I don't know to what degree teams value him, but he would be another. You know, I don't know that Leody Taveras is that guy that like every organization would be in on at this point. Anderson Tejeda, kind of probably a coin flip, but I'd say the one guy still probably is Hans Kraus, with, you know, the health being, I guess, a little bit of an asterisk.
Make the case for keeping Mike Minor. Another team, he's under contract for $9.5 million through 2020. That makes him more appealing to another team that would view him not just as a rental. He's going to be 32 in December. Make the case for the Rangers and where they are you know, keeping and re-signing Mike Minor for what it may cost?
Well, I don't know that I'd be in on re-signing him if that means like a five-year deal. One option that doesn't get talked about as much, if the Rangers wanted to extend him for like two more years at $15 million per on top of his current deal, or even 3 years, I'd be okay with that. I don't know that he would.
Right.
Maybe he looks at this as a, well, but, at the same time, you just mentioned his age. Those pitchers aren't getting five-year deals in free agency, especially guys who have already had, an injury like Mike Minor's had. So I don't know where he'd be at there. But the argument for keeping Mike Minor, not trading him at the July 31st deadline, is that you're six games over 500. And I think an important part of an organization's growth coming from where the Rangers have been for the last 2 years is competing for playoff spots and making the playoffs. And the other thing, too, is, like I said, you maybe would lose a little bit of value, but you can always trade him this offseason if you feel the need to. Now, one side of this argument is, hey, we really feel like with what we're going to do this offseason, we can be a strong playoff team next year. So why would we trade away our best pitcher if, we're not going to go necessarily all in everything, all chips in the middle of the table next year. But as we continue to grow, we feel like next year is a big part of that. And we feel like Mike Minor is a part of that. So, but I do feel like, some people, we talk about tanking and stuff, and not that we're talking about it with this team, but, a lot of people advocate tanking in various sports. And I'm certainly not, I'm not against that by any means, but I do think eventually, it's tough to go from 0 to 60. There's got to be that step in between. There's got to be competing for a playoff spot or just getting in the playoffs, even if you're not expecting to do damage. And I think that might be where the Rangers are this year. Just for some of these young guys, competing for a playoff spot, getting that experience is huge. And you're six games over 500. We'll see where this team is in the next 3 weeks after they play some of the top dogs in the American League. But if they get through that gauntlet, it would be a lot tougher sell to trade Mike Minor before this season's over, just because it seems like you are in a legitimate spot to push for the playoffs.
List the teams that you think are better than the Rangers in the AL.
Well, the Astros, for one. Definitively, the Astros, without seeing the Yankees and the Rays against, how they stack up, but just watching those teams and the Twins. Those are the teams that I think definitively are better. The Red Sox are a really interesting team because on paper, they are better, especially in the rotation. But, just talking, I was on a Boston station yesterday, and they were just talking about how this team reminds them of some of those Red Sox teams that have been sprinkled in amongst all their success over the last decade, that just they've disappointed and they haven't been able to get the job done. What's scary to me about the Red Sox is maybe not their biggest deficiency, but one of them is the ninth inning, and they have the assets to go and make a big move to try and fill that hole. So I'm not counting the Red Sox out yet, but I also, I guess, can't definitively say that at the end of the year they're going to be better than the Rangers. But I will say that right now their roster is way better than the Rangers. They're just grossly underperforming.
Are you more surprised where the Rangers are or the Red Sox right now?
I'll say that I'm more surprised that the Rangers are where they are when you look at their overall pitching numbers and what they went through in April. I'd say that, take that out of the equation. I think where the Red Sox are and how much they've struggled is probably a little bit more of a surprise.
Thank you for the time. This was very good. We appreciate it.
All right, fellas, be well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.